Mr. Costello?
Yeah?
I've been enjoying your performance.
Thank you. What this scat singing I'm doing back here.
Yeah. Scott Simon here. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. I whistle, too, you know.
Well, it's
when
good.
When the blue of the day meets the night. Anyway, let's go.
Okay. Well, we're listening to Elvis Costello. And you know, over three decades, he's been all over the map. And by that, I mean, he's not only performed all over the world, but he plays music of every kind, from pop to rock, new wave to country, opera to jazz. For his latest release, he headed to Nashville, got a little bluegrass.
It's not very far from sulfur to sugar cane. Everywhere I travel, the pretty girls call.
New CD is called Secret, Profane, and Sugarcane. Elvis Costello joins us from New York. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
What attracted you to bluegrass?
Well, I don't really hear this as a bluegrass record. I think if people expect to hear those kind of tunes, they might be a little surprised by the contents of this record. The instrumentalists that accompany me on the record undoubtedly have played that music. And the sounds, the instrumental colors, are quite commonly found in bluegrass. These are all my songs or songs I've co-written, with the exception of one.
Yeah.
And I just found there was a very good environment for the kind of narrative song that I had in my bag when I got together with my friend T-Bone Burnett with the idea of making this record.
Now, what I read is that the two of you went into a studio in Nashville with these fabulous session musicians and just took a whole stack of songs?
Yeah, I had talked about the idea of doing an acoustic guitar record, at least. I knew that much. And then as we discussed some of the material, he suggested some names, Jim Lauderdale, Jerry Douglas, and the others. We were set up in a semicircle so we could see each other. You know, we were all in plain sight.
Mm-hmm.
There was no hiding away in little booths, which means that you can't make any mistakes. We started out with a couple of songs that might have belonged a little bit in the traditional country music style,
mm-hmm.
one of which I wrote with Loretta Lynn.
Let me get you to talk about that one, if we could.
Yeah, well, it's called I Felt the Chill Before the Winter Came, and I got the invitation from John Carter Cash to come, who's producing some recordings of Loretta's, to come down and try and write some songs with her, and I found myself in a writing cabin that used to belong to his father,
oh my.
Johnny Cash. I'd visited that cabin with John 30 years ago when I was in Nashville to record a record called Almost Blue, which was actually an album of other people's songs that I cut back then. So I found myself here 30 years on, sitting with this legendary and a figure who I really love and admire, Loretta Lynn. And she's throwing out ideas, titles of songs. We might have written more songs if we had not been laughing so much of the afternoon. I mean, she was a riot to work with, and we wrote this ballad line by line together.
I felt the chill before the winter came. Suffered the pain and then accepted the shame. I would have lost your love by the end of the sad.
It's a classic form song, but of course it's got her own spin on the familiar tale of feeling that foreboding about your ability to betray as you are betrayed.
I want to ask about some songs that's on the CD
sure.
that you wrote for Johnny Cash before he died.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them are on the CD.
You know, first of all, I wrote Hidden Shame, mm-hmm. which Johnny recorded in the late 80s, early 90s. He did a tremendous version of it, and I left the song alone for a long time.
Did you really think I was a bad man? You always said that bad should be my middle name. But you don't know the half of it. You don't know how that name fits. You don't know my hidden shame.
It was based on a newspaper article that I read about a recidivist, petty criminal. Who obviously his crimes accumulated to a long-term sentence, And it was during one of these incarcerations that he confessed to the much more grievous crime of having killed his childhood friend. And the song in turn inspired a group of songs of my own called The Delivery Man. So I thought it was about time that I made my own rendition of the song. And this was just the occasion to do it with this lineup. You don't know my hidden shame. Hidden shame, shame, shame. And I can't get free from the blame and the torture and the misery. Is it being my secret for eternity? Did you know my hidden shame? Really don't know me. The other song was called Complicated Shadows. Again, it was written with John in mind. I did send it to him when he was towards the end of his life. He didn't pick it up, but I left it alone because I could always imagine him doing it. It was almost like I could hear it in my head so vividly. I made one recording of the song, which turned it into a kind of a rock and roll song, and I never was completely satisfied with it. And given this opportunity and this instrumentation, I felt like the matters of the text needed to be held a little closer to the chest than the rock and roll version did. So here it is. It's in the company of these other songs now. You don't have to take it from me, but I know of what I speak. You think you're like iron steel, but iron steel will bend and break in those complicated shadows.
We asked some of our listeners and followers to suggest some questions. Can mm-hmm. I pass a few along?
I'd be fascinated.
First, Allison Cutler in Iowa asks, am I the Allison he sings about?
I hardly doubt it, unless you've relocated.
Well, she'll be crushed, but... Karen Richardson asks, what is the secret to longevity in a business that seems wedded to one-hit overnight wonders?
I have no clue.
No, she meant that as a compliment to you, Mr.
And I take it as a compliment, yeah. But I really don't know. I never had any ambition other than just to be some kind of songwriter. I think I knew that I was a writer from quite young, and then I developed the idea that it might be related to music mm-hmm. when I was a teenager. And I've gathered more technical skill and ability, not on any instrument, none of which I can play worth a damn, but I can hear things to a relative degree of complexity, and I don't need that talent all the time. Sometimes I'm better served by keeping the music very simple. In this record, the music is harmonically quite simple, but there are several songs on this record which develop harmonically in unexpected ways, and the fact that I know how to do that means that I have choices. I'm walking, I'm pacing, my heart is racing. I swear that clock is running slow. It only speeds up for a moment or so. Each time it's time for me to go. I never set out with an objective that I had to, you know, invade Russia by next week or something like that. That's not a healthy way to carry on in music. And when I'm asked for advice by people whose children are considering music as a career, I say, well, make sure it's actually music that they're pursuing and not fame, because fame in its own ends is liable to be disappointing, but music is very rarely disappointing. You're my all-time dog.
You're my all-time dog. Do you recognize the differences in genres of music that the rest of the world recognizes,
I do recognize them, and I think as a convenience, you know, you don't want to be accidentally stumble into a death metal concert when you were intending to hear a string quartet. But you know, it's keeping them as a convenience and to guide us to greater appreciation, rather than seeing us as a borderline. I think there's a lot to be learned from listening, and just not making preconceived ideas about where people come from and why they sound like they do.
I have to ask you to follow up on something you said. I hope you don't mind. Because
No?
I'm going to be quoting it to people, and honestly, I suspect our listeners will too. When you say, fame may disappoint, but music rarely does.
I'm talking about as you pursue it, in the sense that it becomes something that you're involved with emotionally. And the best moments in my life, other than between two people that love one another, or that love between one generation and another of a family, mm-hmm. involved listening to music or being affected by music.
though we danced for one moment, and too soon we had to part in that wonderful moment. Something happened to me.
A lot of the songs on this record seem to end up with like a moral conflict or a moral dilemma. It just was the way in which the story of the record kind of developed as we recorded. Of course, it has to have a conclusion. At the very end of the record, I found a way to resolve the program with two songs about constancy and fidelity, which is not a topic for which I'm famous.
So I'll keep changing partners till you're in my arms again.
Elvis Costello, his latest album, Secret, Profane, and Sugarcane. You can hear more Elvis Costello songs on our website, nprmusic.org.
Oh, my darling, I will never change partners again.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.